Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick with you on what is essentially Groundhog Day. It's literally the same exact stuff every single day. The same stocks that have been going up are still going up, although today, I guess, is a little bit different because you got pot going up too, I guess, on the heels of the president's tweet last night. But other than pot, it's really the same thing, different day. EV stocks, blockchain, crypto stocks, whatever you want to call them, the same stocks that have been rallying are still rallying. Big tech is weak. So we'll talk about this continued rotation and what's shaping up here for the day. Jeremy Newsom is our guest today. RealLifeTrading.com is his site. He'll be on with us at 8:35. Got a couple earnings on our radar from the retail side, but not too much this week. Before I throw it to Joel, I want to remind you all to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And now, Joel, tell us exactly how much deja vu we have this morning.
We're up and we're up nice. We're up 27.5 handles, caught a bid right at the closing price from yesterday. Pre-market high, 0775. Something tells me we're going to be seeing some higher numbers on my sheet later in today's session. Crude helping out. We haven't really talked about oil stocks. We will have to do that with crude up 66 cents at 43.72. Coming up to a major resistance area at the $44. That's actually the high of the rebound since we went from negative 30. Gold just getting killed here once again, down 28 bucks at 1809.80. Silver, that's in the red too by 53 cents at 23.10. And don't look now, Bitcoin has a new handle. 19,000. We are up $920 at 19,330. Where's the top of Bitcoin? Let's bring in the master of disaster, Triple D. How you doing?
Rotation station, this market. The rotation is just wicked. And, you know, just when you think you're starting to figure it out, then they do some other stuff to you too. Yesterday, the rotation wasn't just out of tech. It was specifically out of mega caps. They don't want mega caps. They don't want stocks like Apple and Amazon and Google that go up 1 or 2% a day. They want stocks that go up 30% a day.
Yes.
And that is what they are piling into. They are piling out of the big ones, out of the mega caps, and into whatever small cap tech they can get, and even other small caps as well. And today the rotation is the value trade once again with Biden. We'll get to that in a second. But I mean, you look at stocks like Jamaya. Yes, I'm still long Jamaya, trying to figure out where to sell it. I bought the stock 7 sessions ago in the 13 handle. It is $33. It is just nutso. Everything is like this though. Like, it isn't just Jamaya. You can name off like 100 stocks that look like this. There's just so many. Fuel Cell, that's one of the most incredible moves I've seen in a long time. A stock that sat under $3 for the better part of a couple of years in 6 sessions just went from 3 to 10, gets downgraded in the middle of it by JP Morgan. They completely laugh at it and it continues to go higher. It's just incredible, the rotation here into whatever small stocks you can get. We talked about Mara yesterday on the show. It was trading at like 375 in the pre-market and as a Bitcoin play. The stock is up 60% since we talked about it yesterday morning. I was actually going to lift it and buy it at 4. And I'm like, I don't like to chase. And I didn't. And it's at 6. So I should have just chased it and bought 4 yesterday, because that's the way this market is right now. It just doesn't care. You've got to chase if you want to get in the stocks because they continue to go higher. This pony ride, this train ride, rocket ship ride will end in tears for a lot of people. But who knows when the rocket ship runs out of gas? So, I mean, I would have thought that Jamaya, like I said, I started lightening this thing up at like 23 when I got up 10 points in 3 days. Well, it goes to 33 in the next 3 days. So I don't know. I mean, it's just Looney Tune, you know, center
here. Yeah, it sure is.
People are just, you know, FOMO running rampant in so many of these stocks. I mean, the move in the EV stocks, XPEV, and the 2-day move here, it's up 50% after it's already had an incredible run. 20 to 50, and then 50 to 77 in literally 2 days. I mean, these moves are, this is totally 1999 in a lot of other stocks. And, you know, I'm trying to go back to remember, I was just a young buck back in 1999. So it's hard to really remember, you know, even how to trade in these environments. But you get on the right side of something, you got to try to hold on for as long as you can, because these rides go a lot further than you would think possible.
Yeah, this XPEV, and you're right, that just hit, I believe that hit 77.50.
I mean, what's stopping it?
I don't know. 50 to 77,
it could go anywhere. Yeah. It could keep doing anything. I mean, it's not, nothing's logic. And, you know, when this ride ends, all of these stocks are probably significantly lower. But, I mean, who knows when this ends? I am shorting them. You could have said it was overvalued and overdone at 50. I thought the NEO was done after, you know, and obviously it's now broken out and making new highs on the move too. These moves are just absolutely incredible, Joel.
Yeah, I what can I tell you? I mean, I'm not going to try and give you a resistance on these things because there isn't any. I mean, pick stocks, your targets, you know, I mean, maybe in these scenarios, it's, you know, I know everyone wants to get the top, but maybe it just, you know, you pick an area on the way down and just, you know, I think one trick would be, you know, look, I like to look at the highest low of a move and kind of keep an eye on that, because that, you know, that's where you find the first part of pain. But, you know, going in today, the highest low is from yesterday in XPEV, and that's like at $57. So who the hell wants to give away, you know, 20 points on something? You can always use today's low as an exit point, but just keep an eye, general rule of thumb, keep an eye on the closing price. Keep an eye on the volume. Wait for a little bit of consolidation. And then, you know, maybe I get a trigger. But a lot of times it's just going to be va-voom when these things fall out of bed.
I think, you know, when you're in these things and they're doubling in 3 days, I do believe, and I follow Jim Cramer's theory here too, is sell half and play with the house's money, because you don't know. Then he can never lose on it. I think it's not a bad call to do that. And then, you know, you're good. And then you can ride it for a bit, being comfortable that, hey, I can't lose on this stock because I've already taken my initial cost basis out of it. So who knows when this party ends? I mean, I'm in a lot of these stocks. Nikola's up at 32. I said my target was 30 when I bought it 3 days ago, 22. I haven't sold it. It's 32. I don't know. 35? I mean, everything's just gone crazy for EV. And okay, let's go talk Biden here for a second, because he started this reopening rally here last night. The rally to EV this morning, the rally to solar this morning, and the rally to pot this morning is obvious with Biden. What took me by surprise is that we went full on reopening rally. So I'm like, I even tweeted out, I was like, I can't really make logical sense of it, but I can't argue with the rotation that I'm seeing here after hours. And it was full on sell the leaders, by the laggards. We know who our president's going to be. Somebody else point out maybe it's a stimulus play, and that is a good point. It could just be the stimulus play that they're coming in here. We've got clarity here. Maybe they're going to start working together. Maybe they're going to start working together to get some stimulus. So that's why you're seeing all of these laggards rally. But the rotation right now is clearly away from the 2020 leaders and into the 2020 laggards. It's been that way for a couple of weeks now. That rotation continues. So stocks like Peloton, Zoom trading down here this morning because they were your 2020 leaders. And right now we aren't going into the 2020 leaders. We're going to the 2020 laggards. Best Buy, same story. I know it had earnings. I know the earnings are okay. Again, this was one of your 2020 leaders though. So they're not rotating into 2020 leaders. They are rotating into 2020 laggards. So just keep that in mind. You have to watch the rotation when you're trading stocks. I mean, you're in these little small caps and stuff. It's a different story. But at the same time, you've got to be careful in these small caps too, because you know what? Stocks don't go up 20-30% every day. This is a very special market right now. We're melting up in a lot of these small companies. And you're going to see a day where some of these stocks fall 30%. You'll be like, whoa. So don't get caught buying the top on some of these things. I think if you're in the ride, trail your stops up. Maybe, like I said, take your cost basis out like I did in Jemiah. You know, and I'm in a few other of these other ones there too. I bought the U yesterday just because of the breakout. I was like, breaking out to all-time highs. I was like, okay, breakouts are working. So, and I'm already up $7 in it. It's tech. I don't know if it's going to work here or not with the, you know, tech not performing as well here on the rotation today. But You've got to be aware of the rotation when you're trading these markets.
That's newer tech, right? That's new tech. So,
well, we'll make that excuse for it. But if I start to see, but you got to look for tea leaves. If you start to see some of these leaders start to roll over, like you can group them all together, your Chamayas and your EV stocks right now. If all of a sudden you start to see profit taking, you'll start to see profit taking go across the board in all these stocks. So just be somewhat cautious when you're trading these things. I don't like chasing. I'll tell you right now, it has been working in the last week to chase some of these moves and some of these small stocks, but we know how this story ends. We see it. We see it periodically with a stock here and a stock there. You just don't usually see it in 100 stocks every day. I mean, if you looked at your filters and run them yesterday, there was probably 100 stocks that were up 15 to 20%. Those are incredible moves.
All right. S&P's itching up here towards the high of the session.
And from the looks of it, today has the same exact feel, because it's in terms of looking at just the futures, it's the exact same thing as it was yesterday and the day before that. And the day before that, the Russell is outperforming, and the Nasdaq is not, and the S&Ps are kind of right there in the middle. And as, so as long as at, you know, at 8 a.m. the you know, you see the Russell up twice what the S&P is, or not quite twice, but you know, an entire percentage point above what the Nasdaq is, then it just that's a pretty big hint that today is going to be just more of the same.
So I mean, this is the story. People chase what's working. That's natural human tendency of a lot of new traders. They're always going to be chasing what's working. That's been working, though. I mean, Cramer's new commercial, Mad Money, says buy what's up. You know, so he's full on chase. And Cramer's your indicator for what the retail base is doing. You know, he's interacting with them on Twitter. He's getting a feel. And you know what? It's what's working. It has worked very well to buy what is up. What is up 20%, you're buying that, and it goes up another 20%. That has been working. I will tell you historically that does not work. Right now in this market, it is working. This is the only market in a long time I've seen where it's paid to chase. Like I always say, don't chase. It doesn't pay to chase. It doesn't pay to chase. Right now, in the last couple of weeks in some of these stocks, it is actually paying to chase, and it's paying big time to chase. I don't know when that goes back to normal. Nobody knows, like I said, when the rocket ship ends. Just be aware that it's not normal for stocks to go up 20% a day.
This is just a tweet from our buddy Kenny. And he said, I can name 50 stocks that are up more than 100% over the last 3 weeks. This is not typically how the stock market works. I'd say this is a bad sign, but now it's the new normal. If you own a stock that's not up at least 20% lately, your stock is He didn't use a very appropriate word. Did you see that?
Kenny does use his colorful language.
Yes, color. It's not even that colorful.
I mean, he's right. Kenny's spot on here with analysis. We love Kenny Glick. That's why we have him on the show. He's one of our buddies. You know, we text with him. He's absolutely right here. I mean, this is the kind of market that is not normal. But I mean, and if you're in these small little tech cap stocks and your stock isn't going, you're probably in the wrong one. He's right. This is in the market that everything has been moving. They've all been flying. So again, I don't know when this story ends. I think it ends in tears for a lot of people, but I'm not going to be the person.
How are you
going to
call
in.
A top? I mean,
you can't.
You can't, Joel.
Calling tops is a way to lose a lot of money. You know, ask David Einhorn on his Tesla position, trying to call the top. He's been shorted for 3 years. He's still trying to call the top. It's destroyed his performance in the last one stock position has basically destroyed his performance in the last 3 years because he's convicted in his thesis that he thinks it's not worth what it's worth. You know what?
I mean,
he's probably right. It's not worth what it's worth, but it doesn't matter. If the story is hot, valuation matters zero. I'm going to continue to say that. It's what we try to teach on the show. The hot story, you don't look at valuation on hot stories. It means nothing in a hot story. That's all FOMO. It's all momentum. It's all running. Once the story cools off or goes cold, that's when valuation can start to matter. But the Tesla story is far from cooling off. As soon as it came out and it's going to the S&P, we don't even know how to add it. You knew the stock is going to run. I said it 3 days ago. I said I could see it going to $600.
Why?
It's going to $600 probably. Every pullback, it's bought like crazy because everybody knows it's got to get added. Everybody knows the indexers are coming. It's just market mechanics to it. This could run up into it. It could run up right into the split. And then, you know, I would be selling it maybe the day before it goes in just because sometimes they pull the wool over your eyes there and do it the day before. But you know, usually they show significant weakness after, not the split. They show significant weakness after the ad. They did it on the split 2 days later for Tesla. So we already have a little bit of precedence. This is an S&P ad. But I mean, there is people just anticipating that there's going to be a lot of index got to buy it. And they're running and running and running it.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that, you know, you can tell these guys out here trying to accumulate it because, you know, the stock was trading 20 million, 30 million, 25, you know, really not much over 30. I see 35. And then the day it was announced, it traded 61 million, then 78 million, then 62.5 million. Friday was a little bit lower, 33 million, but right back at it again yesterday, trading 50 million. So they're out there. They're making them pay up for those indexers that didn't have it in their portfolio. So nice move at Tesla to trying to get to 560 today. Just the last three 15 minute highs, you know, right here. I mean, I'll give you a number. I mean, doubt it will hold up. 550, 548, 67 is your pre-market high.
Impossible to call a top on that stuff.
Yep.
To me, the most interesting thing is like with especially with these EV names is they already had the rally. Like they rallied in June, July, right? In August. They already had that big rally, and a lot of them had a really big sell-off too. Like Lordstown Motors, we know Nikola. And to see it happen again, you know, it's
the buzz. It's whatever everybody's talking about, you know, figuring out the buzz, what's hot. People are very much, you know, a lot of newer people to this market too, and they're like going after and chasing gains. That's why these moves are so violent. It's right back to 1998, 1999. Do you remember trading 1999, Joel? Because I just started then, like a prop. I traded retail 96, 97, 98. And, you know, and I'm, you know, going back and trying to remember, but you're doing a trade here and a trade there. And then I started trading, obviously, prop and trading a lot. But I, like I said, you know, I told that story, you know, with the buddy sitting beside me, buy Amazon in the morning. Amazon was a small, you know, small cap, really, you know, newer startup then. He'd buy Amazon in the morning and sell in the afternoon for a 20% gain. And he'd do it every day. And I'm like, I can't believe it's this easy. I'd be looking at him. I was like, I cannot believe that you can just, he just turns around. He'd buy, you know, whatever amount of Amazon. He'd sell it 3-4 hours later. He'd take some heat. Sometimes it would fall 5-10%. He'd be like, I know it's coming back. And it would just come back. And I'm like, this guy's like a genius. I don't know what happened to him in 2001 when the tech bubble all burst. I don't know if that strategy continued to work. But I tell you, at that time, he was making a lot of money very simply. Like, here I am trying to find edges. And he would just, you just buy Amazon in the morning, you sell it in the afternoon, you bank coin. I was like, poof. Man, can it maybe be that easy? This is the market. We are in that market right now. There's people making money just like that. That easy right now.
Close your eyes. Right?
Maybe the next catalyst is end of year rebalancing. I saw this note from JP Morgan going around yesterday. JP Morgan saying that there's going to be some serious, serious end of the year rebalancing because everyone is so up in all their stocks. So any fund manager with like a 60-40 allocation or whatever is going to have to sell $160 billion in stocks by the end of the year to rebalance. So I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but that's what JP Morgan thinks. So
I don't know anything anymore, Spencer. I'm trying to go back to when I first started to try to get a feel for how to trade some of this stuff. And, you know, and obviously I'm getting lucky holding a few of these names, but the majority of my portfolio, the longer term stuff, is a mega cap and it's underperforming massively right now. You know, the little Jumayas and a couple other ones that I got in there are helping to a certain extent. You know, I've still got, you know, like I said, you know, Mitch's pick, which is another good one that's just been flying there, is Fubo. I mean, that's up another $3 today. So here it was, had the earnings disappointment there 6 trading sessions ago or 7. They knocked her down to 15, or actually it was good earnings, but then they knocked it down anyways. And the stock's almost doubled in 7 trading sessions because it's got a story. You got a story? You got a little retail? It don't matter. We're just buying it. We buy those.
You know what I would do if I didn't already own all of them via like an ETF is I would just go out and buy big tech right now. If I wasn't already long and I was like, and I wanted to own them, now is the time.
To buy big tech,
check
if out. Didn't know
is it though? Because you look at Apple, it's trading 30 times, and I'm like, it's not cheap. What's cheap? The problem is if you really want to say, you know, okay, I'm going to go buy the laggards. Usually, you're saying okay because they're getting cheap enough. I mean, nothing's cheap.
No. Usually, when you say I'm going to go buy the laggards, it means you're going to buy Abercrombie and Fitch. But no,
those are working. Those things are going up
now. Right? The laggards are the Apple. Think about that. Apple, Amazon's a laggard, right? Google's a laggard. I mean, yeah. Come on, you don't get better than that.
You're getting high quality. You're right. And if you're going and picking up some high quality names here right now, you're probably happy that you did it. But I mean, there's nothing cheap out there. Don't kid yourself. This market is very expensive here right now. We're most expensive we've been in a long time. But you know, even Jason Rasnick on the show last Friday, I'm of the opinion too. I think people are going to spend. When we come out of this COVID crisis, people have been locked up, and you know what? They don't want to be locked up anymore. And I think people are going to come out of this crisis spending, and they're going to come out spending big time. I think the market is saying that too. And I think we're going into a serious inflationary environment. I know it doesn't show up in the stats, but you know, just like we've given this argument before, think about what housing prices, you know, it just keep going up and up and up and up and up. You know, and obviously this is the biggest expense for a person is their house. So, you know, lumber prices were up 50% year over year here. So, I mean, don't tell me it's not inflation. It's a joke. So there is inflation, and it's going to start to come to everything. So I don't know what the Fed is going to do. They've already said, oh, we'll let inflation run a little bit and run 2-4%. Well, start going, it's kicking up 5-8% on your stats, which we know your stats are light. Are you going to raise interest rates to chase it? Because raising interest rates, everybody is in trouble on their homes all of a sudden. So you're kind of stuck. Can't raise rates. Probably just got to, you know, buy, you know, you're going to see an inflationary environment. You can't help it. I mean, there's, you know, a good argument for why people are getting long Bitcoin. It's going to, if you start seeing inflation run rampant, it's going to start devaluing the dollar.
Yep.
They're printing money like crazy. It's going to start, you know, and that's why people are running into assets. They don't want to be in cash. People are scared to be in cash right now because everybody else is getting rich around them without, you know, not doing very much, to be honest with you. Just buy a few of these high momentum names and put some serious money in them, and people are getting like rich.
It's a very interesting
environment.
Yeah, so I think we can put a bow on this, but someone in the chat had a good analogy, and I'll say it. It's almost like you've got like LeBron James on the bench right now. That's what it feels like. You've got LeBron James or Dennis for you. Connor McDavid is on the bench. You've got your best names, your best players are on the bench. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, you do. They are. The thing is, they haven't really went down, though. They've just kind of been not going up. So the question is,
it's
the same thing. They're eventually just going to start going up again there, too. I don't know why. Like, you know, there is some great names out there and some at reasonable valuations. I just don't know if they're cheap enough to say, yeah, load up everything here right now. I'm cautiously just I'm going in here. And it's a trading environment right now. It's not, I wouldn't say this is a good investing environment. This is a trading environment right now. Take your investor cap off and throw it away right now. We're in a trading environment. If you get on the right side of the trade, ride these waves. You ride the wave, you know, and I still say, I know people are yelling at me, don't take half your money out. I like playing with the house's money. So that's my own thing. It's worked for me over my courses of years of investing. Maybe, you know, I've left some money on the table, but I sleep better at night knowing I'm not going to lose on that position. So I guess it's how well you can sleep to a certain extent. But this is the kind of environment that you're trading, you're riding the waves, but don't get stuck. You know, don't just think, oh, I'm going to buy Jemiah at $33 and it's going to be $200 a year from now. It might if the waves keep going, who knows? But I mean, eventually, you know, there's going to be some ugliness happening here too. It's not this easy.
Let's transition to the pot sector here. And I have a theory on why pot is up so much today. There's a rumor that he's going to appoint Department of Agriculture to Ziggy Marley. Is really what is the rumor that's circulating there. But these
Joel starting rumors here again.
Yeah. All right. Pots moving off the Trump tweet from last night, and it looks like the transition is what we've all been waiting for is going to start happening. Pot just catching another bid here this morning.
Jeez, boy. Look at these.
I bought a few just on the news last night. I was able to buy Grow Generation. Actually, that's come back down. I sold it this morning at $33.30. So actually, that's come back in here. But the Canadian ones are really performing well here. You're looking at CGC up 8%, APHA up 8%. I mean, all of them. Is this just another rally to sell?
Dennis, you should look at Aurora. You want to see something fun.
I mean, this thing went, look at the move from 5 to 15, then back down to 7. So this is a good chart to look at here. Looking at the chart in the top right corner on Joel's thing at that ACB. And you see the boom, 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 the big spike. That's your fuel cell chart. That's what it's going to look like. And I'm predicting, and it's a pretty easy prediction, that's what your fuel cell chart is going to look like in about a month. It's going to have this huge blow off, and people are going to be like, I can't believe somebody paid $14 for fuel cell. I don't know if it's going to $14, but you know, I don't know it's not. But I can tell you it's going to have like this 50% fall in 2 days, and there's going to be some bag holders in it. And then they'll be like, well, I know it's going to come back. And you know what? Sometimes they do. A lot of times they don't after those blow off tops. So that's your fuel cell chart. That's probably, you know, your chart on a lot of these stocks. I mean, look at, you know, XPEV. It's probably your chart on XPEV. Bally. Did you see Bally going? B-A-L-Y. That thing's just exploded in the last 3 days too. I mean, these huge moves happen. And then the profit taking
what was that stock?
And then the panic starts. B-A-L-Y.
Oh, B-A-L-Y.
Yeah, and
yeah, because we're all going to Bally's.
Well, no, Bally's, I mean, they were in the news the other day because they announced the naming rights with all the Sinclair local sports stations that Sinclair owns, and they announced a partnership with the sports book in Iowa. So they've been in the headlines. I saw several Bally headlines in the last more Bally headlines in the last 3 days than I've seen in the last 3 weeks.
One person's got 33% of the float or something, you know.
Yep.
And he's trying to corner the market in Bally's. That one hedge fund, 30% of the company.
8:27. We're going to have Jeremy Newsom on in about 8 minutes from reallifetrading.com. Let's do some earnings real fast. Let's just do Best Buy. The earnings were out this morning on BBY. As Dennis mentioned, they were good. Not like it really matters, though. $2.06 EPS versus $1.70 estimate. Sales of $11.8 versus $11 billion. So a beat and a beat. Overall comps for the quarter up 23%. Online comps in the U.S. up 174% year over year. Man, you know what's going to be really weird? The comps next year. The comps next year are going to be really good or really bad. Really bad for e-commerce and really good for everything else.
How can same-store sales be up?
On Best Buy?
Because people are
online.
It's all online. I mean,
everybody's buying online. I just bought a printer. I bought it from Best Buy online.
So the overall number that includes e-commerce, but then everyone spins out.
You want to know why Best Buy is killing it? You want to know why Best Buy killed it this year? Everybody set up a home office. Everybody who didn't work from home set up a home office. They bought themselves a printer. They bought themselves a computer if they didn't, you know, have a new one. You know, they upgraded all of their home systems because everybody was working from home for a while. So we all went heavy into stocks like Best Buy, because everybody was setting up a home office. So are all those sales pulled forward for the next year? Probably. So we come out of this. I mean, it's probably not good news for Best Buy for a while. So just to think Best Buy is going to continue to have the performance it did this year, go from $50 to $120, we're going to be $250 next year on Best Buy? No, I don't think so. It's my opinion. I mean, if we stay locked down, maybe. But again, this is a lockdown play.
Just think about how easy it's going to be next year for the airlines to have like. I don't think the airlines do comps, but whatever the airline equivalent of comps is.
What do they call that, Dennis? You know, it's like load capacity, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They have a few different metrics like that, but
I think that's
about how easy it'll be for those guys, and how hard it'll be for like Netflix, right, or any of these, or like Amazon, right? Like, there's no way this year is such an anomaly.
This one, well, it had the earnings run up. Look at that. Nice. Right into the print, almost at the all-time high, and then you got hit. This one, it's going to be hard to find an area of support. The reason I'm saying that is you took out this 118. You had a couple lows and a 117 handle, 117.38, 117.74, 7. So there is some support in there. Right here, these three lows, you hit it in the pre-market, you got slammed down to 117. But if that doesn't hold, then you're looking at 113.5. So keep an eye on that. You did have three lows in the same area. You did hit it in the pre-market. So if that area holds, maybe you rally back, maybe kiss the bottom of yesterday's range, 119.90, that'd be a good resistance point. And I think it posted its all-time closing high. Yes. No, it's not the all-time closing high, but 117.30 to 120 early range there, and best if it can get off the mat. But you can see if it doesn't hold that area, boy, say hello to 113 and
the
half.
Rotation matters here, the overall rotation, and people don't see, they think retail, best buy, this is a reopening play. It is not.
Opposite.
This is a lockdown play. That's why the stock did so well in 2020. Again, your 2020 leaders have become your 2020 laggards, at least for now. That rotation might change, so you got to keep listening to the show, because that's what we're all about here is identifying rotation. I make my money.
Turn,
I made my entire life off of watching rotation. That's, you know, I trade mega caps for the most part, big caps. I trade some of the small cap stuff for fun. But for the most part, my bread and butter is identifying major rotation in sectors and then trying to get on the right side of that trade. Like last night, I was actively trying to buy pot stocks as quickly as I could, solar stocks as quickly as I could, when Biden, you know, because those were the obvious ones. The reopening thing took me by surprise, but then, you know, somebody made a great point, like I said, stimulus. But identifying the rotation has paid my bills for 20 years. So I'm all about the rotation.
Okay. All right. We got 3 minutes before Jeremy comes on. That was our best buy. Let's do another couple earnings before Jeremy comes in.
Sure. Should we do Abercrombie? It's a big gainer today.
Well, I'm sure it's on $5 or something. No, two. Look at that.
Oh, that's a laggard.
Only yeah,
up 10%. That's a disappointment.
Get that stock off
that
my
there.
Screen. That is a such
only
a
up 10%. We follow in Kenny's theory. That stock's a dog.
Look at my L Brands there trying to get $40. And man, oh man, consolidation. Let's see. Abercrombie and Fitch trading at the highs of the pre-market session. Little bit of a battle here with the bulls and the bears right here. Just under $25. I got nothing in the monthlies here. So just jot down that pre-market high going right into the open. See if it holds that level. I mean, with it opening at 25, you don't want to see this thing open up 25-20 and then come back down under. But good looking chart. And I remember going there like 100 years ago, and they used to sell really cool stuff. They really did.
They don't sell cool
if anybody
anymore.
Remembers that. Yeah, I think I said this on the show a while
I've
ago.
I've probably been on one once.
I think maybe only like Spinner remembered, but they used to sell like really unique stuff. I remember going in there at Somerset like 100 years ago. But Charlie's good. Let's take out 25.
Yeah, guys. One of the things that I would definitely pay attention to is Kramer mentioned Macy's like multiple times yesterday. So definitely keep that one on watch, but it's already moving. One that I mentioned in the chat last week. EXPR now up to 180. This was a stock that was under 80 cents, but with the turnaround in the story of retail, these are the kinds of stocks that I look for.
Yeah.
The reason why is because it was just so beaten down.
Yeah.
It was just looking for good news, and the good news of the vaccine caused that spike on the 9th. And then I saw that pullback towards the 80 towards Friday. It looked really good on that Monday when it just ticked up above that 80 cents. So this thing now up there almost at $2. So
it's the short squeeze, the non-bankruptcy trade here. I mean, it might still be going bankrupt. Don't kid yourself. But right now, it's like the people who are short this thing saying, oh, bankruptcy was imminent, or like, uh-oh, I'm caught on the wrong side. I don't even have to look at that stock, and I bet you it's got some nice short interest on it. You know, just because I know the story is not a good story. But right now, reopening is hot. I mean, GCI is another one. I'm long GCI. Or no, is it GCI? Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah. I'm on that one.
Wow.
I'm on that one too right now. Cody's another good story too. I mean, Cody, I bought this. I sold it already this morning. I bought it last night. See, some exec bought a million shares. I was like, oh, that's going to move it. You got a stock that's squeezing, and all of a sudden, exec buys a million shares. Look at your bro.
You're along like the dogs of dogs. Oh, my God.
You got to be right now. I'm along a whole bunch of crap. But you know what? These are rentals. Like Dougie Cass would say, these are rentals.
How is Dougie Cass
stuck in all these? Get Dougie. I love Dougie. Get Dougie back on.
He used to always
come on.
He's a hard guy to get a hold of.
He's just busy.
Get
Doug. Doug will come on. He likes us. He's been on our show.
We tried. He dusted us. Do you want to try him, Spencer?
He's been on like a dozen times.
Not in a long time, Dennis.
No, it's been a while. He'll come on.
Spencer, you want to reach out to him?
He's mad at all media. He doesn't go on CNBC anymore either.
I can try. He's ghosted me a few times, but I can try.
Yeah, we're really not media though.
I'll get him. Oh, really? Out to Dougie. I'll try to get Dougie.
You'll actually send an email, Dennis. Dennis, you would have to open up.
I probably won't.
You have to open up your email first in order to.
I forget is a problem. Then I'll forget. I'd say it now and then I forget. Jeremy Newsom's in the background. He's grown this. He's got the.
What is going on there?
He's got the mask going on.
Oh, is the mask?
It looks like a beard, but it's his beard. He doesn't need a mask because he's got a beard.
Guys, this is a real beard. This is
what is going on with that, man?
There's no germ that could get through that beard. I tell you that right now, Jeremy.
What is that?
There's nothing getting through there.
This is like a real beard. I'm sorry it's so dark in here. I'm in Vegas, and it is 5:30 in the morning. So the sun's not out yet, and I didn't put up my ring light because I don't, you know.
What are you doing in Vegas? You going to Bally's?
Oh, man, I am not. I came out here to do I went to Mount Charleston yesterday to do a nice little run. So I was in the mountains all day yesterday.
You went all the way out to Vegas to do a run?
Yeah, ma'am.
That's motivation.
You know what? Hey, Spencer, why did you bring James Harden on?
He's a basketball player. What do you know about stocks? Dude, I'm selling these.
What is going on there?
I'm just selling these.
Please turn the light on. I got to see it. You got anything growing? Got anything growing in there?
No,
there's
man.
There's an owl. There's an owl in there.
Like he doesn't know what's Christmas in there. He doesn't even know what's in there. I tell you, though, that's his mask, man. You don't have to wear a mask because he can't get around the beard.
He's got his lunch in there, his dinner.
He's good to go. Somebody in the chat says that's his card counting disguise. That might be, actually. They all know him at the table, so he's got to grow the Amish beard. Yeah, he's growing the Amish beard to go count the cards here this afternoon. He not only makes a ton of money in the markets, he makes a ton of money counting
cards.
Can't
you afford a razor? I'm going to buy you a razor for Christmas.
The good old facial recognition software, man. They just can't get around the beard.
No, they're not getting through that, man. They're like, oh, yeah, we don't even try this one.
Jeremy, what's on your radar?
Dude, so this is going to be an interesting day, man. I'm selling a lot of things today.
And just before you go into that, last time Jeremy Newsom was selling a lot of things was, I'll give you the day. I can go look at the S&P. But it was the actual market top. And last time he said this was September the 2nd.
Yep.
And the NASDAQ fell 10% in 4 days. So when the Jeremy Newsom indicator comes on, today I'm selling a lot of things. It's time to be nervous.
Man, Dennis, it's just high, dude. It's high. Like, I should not be making as much money as I'm making on Tesla. It's too easy.
It's too easy.
Everything is too simple. I'm not saying we're going to crash. I'm just simply saying that going into the Thanksgiving holiday, taking some profits, peeling off some gains is probably not that bad of an idea, you know?
I think it's a good idea.
It's
been
like,
too easy.
It seems reasonable. And the thing is, we're going to go higher. I'm very bullish on the market. I'm just going to lock in some gains, expect some pullbacks, go find something else that's get beat up, and then just, you know, play the rotations from there. But man, it is just sky high. I love what you guys said about Kenny earlier this morning, because I replied to his quote on
Twitter.
Yeah,
I saw that.
It's absolute fact, man. It's just so, so high.
What have you been playing right now? Like, so what stocks are you in and what are you selling?
Okay, so I am in Tesla and I'm selling some Tesla. I'm selling 90%, so not all of it.
Okay, he's selling basically all of it. You're like locking it in.
Basically all of it. Shares and call options. So I'm selling some on Tesla. And I still have Zoom. So you and I have to talk about Zoom, Dennis.
He wants to make this all-time bet with me. I know.
There's no way. There's no way. Zero chance this is the all-time high.
Well, the one thing I was saying, there's no way for me to ever win that bet with you because all time continues for all time. So there's no like, you get the event if it does make a new high, I pay you, but you can never pay me. So you'd make that bet always. So
yeah.
There's no way for me to win that bet. But I'm just saying the valuation's so overdone and the story had went so far. So maybe I should never say all the all-time highs and maybe Zoom does some other stuff. I'm just saying there's a lot of good news baked into the story.
Yeah. Oh, dude, for sure. It's really, really up there. The problem is it's become a verb now. Like, you guys know. Like,
it's true.
That's a good point.
You know how I am with verbs. Like, anytime a company becomes like just a saying in day-to-day. I said it today and I got mad at myself. I had someone ask me something. I was like, yeah, man, we should have a Zoom.
That's not always true. It's true a lot of times, but it's not like Slack is a verb. I use Slack as a verb all the time.
Dude, and Slack will be going higher.
he's full of Slack for that reason.
Dude, Slack is going to be going higher. So you just sit back, relax, and enjoy. Like, it's just going to take a little bit of time.
Jeremy Newsom applies his English skills as, you know, to trading. So he looks at what's verbs, and he buys those stocks, and it works. You know, Dennis, what? That's a genius strategy. It's going on. I'm going to steal it from you. Put it on page 14 of my book. Dude, when the stock becomes a verb, you buy it.
Dude, steal it. Look at Uber. Look at Uber.
People, oh, yeah. Look at
that. That's true, man.
Guys, yep. People made fun of me when I was like, Uber at 20. Like, how are you not buying this? And they're like, they're losing money. I'm like, everyone uses them all the time. No one says, hey, let's take a Lyft somewhere. They go, hey, let's take an Uber. Oh, shoot. My Uber app is broken. Let's do a Lyft. You know, like, it's
kind of
very clean, clean stock long term. It just made new all time highs, just broke out. You know, I'm a fan. Netflix and chill. I mean, come on. That's been around forever, but that was an easy one. So
is there anything you're buying right now? Because we know we've run here. Is there anything that Jeremy Newsom's getting down dirty and saying, okay, yeah, this is cheap enough now, I'm jumping in?
Teladoc. Yeah. Teladoc is the one thing that I'm still buying positions in. I feel like they just had a double bottom on the daily chart. I still feel like, you know, going into the season of flu season or Corona part two or whatever, right? I think that this is a strong chance that Teladoc can eventually go higher. It seems like it's had some pullbacks. It didn't do that bad during COVID, and it looks like it has a little bit of a double bottom on the daily chart. So I still think that there's some love on this company. I know Kathy, who you're a big fan of, Joel, she's been buying a lot of it. Kathy Wood from ARK. So she's buying Teladoc hand over fist, and it seems like a decent price. I mean, from 230 to 170, you know, and it's not like they didn't buy LVGO, because they did. And
They really hit it on that.
Yeah, dude, I think so. I mean, I think that's similar to Facebook buying WhatsApp, honestly. That's just my opinion, but I think it's a similar story.
What's the market cap on Teladoc now? I'm just curious. Do we know?
That's a good question.
I can go grab it. Yeah. I mean, you're all about momentum and jumping and stuff, but we know Jeremy didn't look at a market cap ever, probably.
I have definitely looked at a market cap.
Oh, I did? Okay.
Let me pull it up. Give me 3 seconds.
I'm buying it too. I'm slow. My system's slow.
Let's see who's faster.
You're going to be faster. I don't know. Billion. I got too many trades.
I'm seeing 28.
28 bell. 28 bell.
Yeah, 28, 27, depending on where you look at. So, you know, I mean, not
bad. It's not a mega cap.
It's a lot less than Zoom.
Well, yeah, Zoom is off the charts. Zoom and Tesla are going to be one, two most valuable companies in the world to keep up the pace.
Bro, Elon Musk is now the second richest human being in the world.
I saw that.
Bill Gates.
Look at Musk.
I'm so proud of him, man. I'm so proud of him. Like, that's, you guys know, every time I come on here, I'm bullish on Tesla.
What are you going on? What was that show that you absolutely got like flogged on?
Real Vision.
Yeah.
Just murdered. That was the bottom of Tesla.
Yeah. The real, yeah. That was when we weren't we out in New York?
Yeah. We had the Benzinga conference that same week.
Yeah. Yeah. Real Vision.
Everyone was making fun of me. I was like, how are you guys so wrong on this? It doesn't make any sense.
They should change their name to Real Blind.
Joel, come on, man. They're nice people just like us.
I feel like Benzinga is a better network, you know?
You know, I just have to compliment myself here. You know, when you, I don't do it very often.
I have to compliment myself.
Well, here. You too, Dennis and Spencer.
I do it too.
We've a little bit too, but
the back,
when
says,
you can make,
teaches you. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Oh,
the
when you can that. Make a stand-up comedian laugh, then you're doing a good job. If you can make, yeah, no, because you're a funny guy, Jeremy. You,
thanks, man.
I know you got out of that gig. But anyways, I mean, you're getting up there with Bill Santiago here. Did you ever track him down for an interview, Jeremy?
I have not gotten a chance to track him down. Well, I tracked him down. He hasn't really replied yet. But
oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Anyways, back to stocks.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
Spencer,
go for it.
I'm gonna be day trading a lot today, man. Like, I'm probably gonna look to sell stuff. Like, I'm gonna try to see if I can find a short or just not do anything at all. That's probably my thought for today. Like, let me see if I can find some blow off tops or just do absolutely nothing, because who the heck
Silly
knows?
Land.
So yep. are you doing what I was saying a few minutes ago, which is maybe taking now to nibble in, you know, the big caps?
Amazon. Oh, yes. Amazon for sure.
Yeah. Why not? That's what I'm saying.
Nibble City, man. I agree. There's a good spread out there on Amazon. And looking at, check this out, 4,000, 4,500 spread for like March, I think only costs $3,000 or so. So you have pretty limited downside risk per contract. But I mean, if Amazon starts running, right? I mean, theoretically, you could be risking $30 to make what, 470? So I'm not saying that Amazon is going to get to 4,500, but between now and March.
Yeah.
But man, if it breaks out, it could go at least up to 3,500 again, and just, you're not going to lose on that position if that occurs. At least I wouldn't imagine that would happen. But yeah, if Amazon takes out the hive yesterday at some point, I'm bullish on Amazon.
Look at that. Three highs in the same area. That's kind of actually three out of four, Jeremy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Look at that.
Pretty good chart. I like it. So if Amazon breaks higher, Spence, yeah, man, I could play that one. But it's funny that you guys mentioned that. Like, yeah, Facebook is a laggard. Apple was down huge yesterday.
Laggards. Big time.
Yeah,
you know, because I was saying, like, people aren't going after, they don't want a stock going up 1-3% a day, they want a stock going up 30% a day.
Yeah,
I mean, people are hungry for, like, oh my gosh, look what they're making over here, and you know, then fuel cell, you know, it's going up 50% in the one day, and it goes up 20% the next day, and has a bad day, and only goes up 10%. I mean, this has been just an unbelievable story. Like, we know how the story ends, Jeremy. We know how the story ends.
My sister is in fuel cell at like $2, and I don't know.
Fuel cell at $2. I sold it at $2. I was in it for like 6 months waiting for it to go. I sold it like 2 months ago. I literally was in this. I kept thinking this is going to go. And then they did that offering, and I'm like, ah, oh, they're now diluting it. I'm like, I'm watching Plug go. I'm watching Ballard go.
Yep.
I'm like, when is fuel cell going to get some love? I finally gave up on it. And about a month later, it has this move. And I'm like, holy mackerel.
Yeah, man.
A lot of money on the table there.
Yeah, I definitely was in. I was in fuel cell, but I sold it like 383 because I'm a moron, apparently. And don't know anything better about than trading. It's been
what's
a while,
your target, Jeremy? I know you've been bullish this too for a while, and you told you were putting your savings into Bitcoin, right?
Oh,
you still doing that?
You, my man, you know it. I am so bullish on the cryptos. The charts, everything is beautiful. It's glowing. I did sell 75% of my Bitcoin holdings at 17,653.32. So from here, I just hold the rest, man. I have large positions in Ethereum. I have decent size in Dash. I sold some of my Stellar yesterday. Bitcoin from here, dude, it's about to hit good old 20.
Yeah,
19.2. It's going to hit it today, I think, 20,000. And then, man, we'll see what happens. But it's going to be fun to ride up.
Jeremy, here's a good question from our chat. How quick are you to pull the trigger on selling a loser or a laggard?
He doesn't have any. Next.
I wish.
Next.
I wish.
A day trade or a long-term or swing trade?
Yeah, good question. I'll answer both. Because day trades, I will cut absolutely same day within seconds. Like, I'm in it. I have the stop order in. If it's going against me, if it's breaking through stops, you know, fear the beard, man. I just get out, like, take the loss, move on. It's just it's second-grade math, day trading. Day trading is second-grade math over and over and over. You know, risk 60 cents to get a dollar. So it doesn't bother me. So day trading, always. I'm like military precision. I will exit a loser for longer term positions. So I say longer term, let's say a year. I'll wait a month. So I'll get in, I'll be down, I'll wait a little bit. Maybe I add small size, like 10 shares or something, wait another week, add another 5 shares, wait another week. If it's an investment, so for example, like Bitcoin, obviously I had to hold through some turbulent times on Bitcoin for a while. I'm okay to just be in them for a bit, as long as, and Dennis has been a very big advocate of this, the story, as long as the story works, as long as I can understand people are betting against it, people still don't like it, people don't understand it, then I'll still be in long. Once everyone's on board, once every one of you guys own a Tesla and everyone loves Teslas, that's probably when I won't be bullish on Tesla anymore. I'll go find the next one.
Works. It works when the crowd is all of a sudden when they start talking about your stock that nobody knew about.
Yep.
And they start talking about it on CNBC. It is now time to think about ringing the register. because and obviously they talk Apple, Amazon, Canada doesn't apply, but the small little stock, you know, that nobody talks about, all of a sudden they start talking about it. It might go for another day or two, but you're getting close to the top. When major media picks up these stories,
agreed,
it's usually the sign that the top is near.
Yeah. Dennis, good trade on Jumanji, by the way, man. That was a great
I'm
one.
Still in it, so don't jinx me on this thing yet, man. I don't know what to do. I want to just sell it all because it just seems like silly town here now. I already took my cost basis out, and I'm like, I don't know. I want to ride it for a bit here. I wanted to sell at 25. I want to sell at 28. It's 31 here this morning. It was 33 an hour ago, but I don't know how to trade this stuff like this. I don't know if anybody can time them perfect. You never get the top, never get the bottom.
Just one time, I'd like to see you miss the top on the way down, not the way up. You know what
like
I mean?
Whole, yeah, you know what? Because I'm always scared. I don't want to. I got the Harlan Pine thing. Sell your peanuts while the circus is in town. So, and then obviously, you know, you're talking about waiting till the circus has left town and then trying to find somebody to buy your peanuts. I don't like doing that because I don't like seeing that boom, that whoosh, that 25% fall. But again, you know, sometimes I sell my peanuts when in the opening act, and that's where, you know, the elephant isn't even there yet. So I should, you know, try to wait.
You know, we should have known not to sell because there's no more circuses coming to town.
Right? COVID.
So that's a good point. So you never have to sell. Just looking forward, like 2020 has been a, you know, a good year for the financial markets, good year for your portfolio and everything. What are you looking for in 2021? I know you were kind of one thing you were kind of off on. Well, we don't know for sure on the election outcome.
Yeah.
But you know, what are you thinking? You know, changing the White House. I don't know if I don't really think there's going to be. I mean, if Biden looks at some of the policies that Trump did for Wall Street, I mean, I don't know how, you know, why would he reverse it? But what are you looking for in 2021? Then we'll let you go.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's a great question, man. I'm going to keep my eyes on clean energy. I'll keep my eyes on solar. I think First Solar is actually catching some excitement again. People haven't been talking about that company forever. And I think it's about time to do so. Just honestly, technical charts look nice on First Solar, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe they start getting some love with Biden in office. If that happens, like I said, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. I do think overall markets go higher regardless of who's in office. And if you have a Senate that's also mainly still Republican and the White House is obviously Democratic, who knows, man? Market likes those kind of gridlock situations, but I think the market's going to go higher. I'm going to keep eyes on clean energy. I might watch some oil plays just because they were so low. Maybe you can make some quick swing trades and kind of get in and get out and just take some moves and kind of move on. But man, it's going to be fun. I would like to see a lot of the social media names continue higher. I think they will. Snapchat, Pinterest. I think we're going to continue higher. I think Facebook eventually can continue higher. So overall, pretty pumped about watching a lot of the good names that people aren't massively talking about, like the social media, and also clean energy.
All right. Jeremy Newsom is from reallifetrading.com. He's the only guest we have on our show where every time we have him on, he's in a different state. So where will he be?
Yeah, what are you doing for Thanksgiving, Jeremy?
I'll be here in Vegas. I'll stay in Vegas. And then next week, I'll be in the British Virgin Islands. So I'm excited.
Holy mackerel, this guy travels. He's not scared to fly.
Nope. Let's all do it, boys.
Reallifetrading.com, as I mentioned, is Jeremy's site. Jeremy, have a good
time. Love you, Jeremy.
Love you guys. You're my favorite.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
All right. Let's do some tickers from the chat. We almost got there earlier, but we didn't quite get there. Let's go to Lyft here. We talked to Uber with Jeremy, but we didn't talk about Lyft really. Let's pull up the chart and check that one out. And drop your tickers in the chat, and we will cover them for the remainder of the show.
I mean, it's been an incredible run, pure reopening play. It's not surprising that this thing continues to lift, pun fully intended, just because we get this reopening stock, reopening rally, and it's been running. There's room. I mean, you know, yes, I like Uber better too. I agree with Jeremy there. I think Uber is the better company. I think Uber's got the better long-term prospects here. But, you know, Lyft's been in the gutter. You go out and you look a long ways out, and you see lots of consolidation just kicking around here around this $40 level. Back to April, I'm going back to April, and no, actually I'm going June when we had the reopening rally last time. We stopped here, so we're pausing here again, you know, in this whole 40-41 area. We need to get up above that June high of 41.19, hold that, then you got room to 50, so it could do it. But you're, you know you're pausing where you thought it would pause.
You guys are going to have to help me in 2021. Like when I draw a trend line like that on your bottom right, okay, when it breaks above the trend line.
Let us know. Oh, this was an old trend line you drew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But you know what it did? It like these gaps. That's what it went 26, 28, you know, and oh, I'm gonna buy it at 26. I'm waiting to fill the gap. And then it goes 32 to 36. I'm gonna buy it at 32. And I mean that was should I officially get rid of that trend line now so I don't have to think about it? It
no, didn't no, man. Those trend lines work, Joel.
Oh man. I draw a trend line.
When it breaks above it,
you get out of the way. I don't want you get steamrolled there, man. I'll tell you. Yeah.
Woo.
I don't know.
Woo. Ric Flair. Woo!
Yeah. That's a Ric Flair chart there. But you know, also, you even think about this one. I mean, people got stuffed on this one on the IPO. But let's just, you know, for blanks and giggles here, what would be halfway back of this movie? I mean, they top ticked it that first day. You didn't even have a chance to cart it up.
$87.24.
Yeah. Oh, you got room to 50 bucks in this thing.
I think there's room to 50 as well.
I do too.
I think there's room there to 50. Go. I think you could consolidate and potentially go higher.
That. And it you know who also? 50. Another Gene. This is one Gene liked too. He kind of stuck with this one. I should have just a Gene portfolio, a Gene Munster portfolio. I'd be doing pretty good in that one. Anyways, all right, next, spend much time. Let's go 30 seconds.
Public service announcement also, Tempur-Pedic had a 4-for-1 stock split today, so it's not really down 94% or whatever the number is. It's just stocks went into effect today. Okay, Micron, MU.
Dennis? Unbelievable. I had the stock for dead. I sold mine back at like 51 or 52, and I was like, this old tech, what? Not going to get any love. And all of a sudden, it's got love. The value trade came in as well. So we've moved from Momo to, you know, value, Micron, classic value stock. So it's not coincidental. This has had a nice 2-3 week run as we've had positive vaccine news, because this is a value trade. And the money has rotated from leaders to laggards. And Micron has kind of lagged. I know I sold it. Shouldn't have sold it.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I was going to say it is May of 2018. You hit 64.66. And that was a top for a while. In fact, a while until today. So does that mean it's the old, you know, is it going to stall out there? I don't know. What we do in yesterday's session here? Yesterday's session, we hit 64.50. So, I mean, if you've been holding on this since May of 2018, I don't think that's the all-time high, though. Is it, Dennis? I'm going to have to go a little bit. Is that an all-time high? Let's see here. We got
no, 80.
80?
Go financial crisis. Yeah, back go to 80s. Or not financial. Go back to tech bubble. You know, it just shows you these bubbles, you know, like these bubbles never, stocks never came back. It still hasn't come back.
Right,
keep going.
Here's one.
It goes off the board here.
Yeah, I think it's over $80.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
I don't think I've looked at the chart of eBay since like August. And so someone in the chat just mentioned it. I'm very surprised by this. This is not participated.
No, because this is a lockdown trade, Spencer. This is the look at Peloton.
Back to like July. Like the high was made in July. Like this hasn't
participated. So it started selling off earlier than that. Yeah, this was a total, it just got ridiculously overdone. You know, we were going to do everything on eBay because we were never going to go out to any yard sale or garage sale or auction sale ever again.
Where you getting your kids' toys now? Because you can't go to garage
sales. eBay. I got to go to the garbage next door from the neighbor. Remember?
Oh yeah, what was that toy?
I picked
again?
The ad out of the garbage.
Oh yeah, the ad. That's right.
That's good.
All right, keep going. This is
my kid's favorite toy.
Oh man! All right, I've seen a bunch of people mention it's Switchback Energy SBE. This is in that group of high flying.
Yeah. These are the stocks that are going up 100%.
I don't know what to say to that. I'm sorry, I really
this
don't.
Again. Okay, so that chart that we looked at. What was the chart right off the hop we looked at? What I said would look like. That's what fuel cell will look like.
Yeah.
What was that chart, Joel?
Oh, that stock. 10 minutes ago. What was that?
20. No, before Jeremy.
ACB. Like earlier. Man.
Thank
ACB,
you.
ACB. Bring up the ACB chart. I want. So look at SBE. Now bring up the ACB chart. your chart will look like this, I believe, in SBE in about a week and a half.
I don't know
if it's going to look at it for, I don't know if it's going to be like $50 down to 25 or if it's going to be $34 down to like 17. It'll get cut in half at one point in time. I don't know where, I'm not saying I know where the top is. I'm saying it's going to look like that.
You know what? I know you don't know where the top is, but I know where it is.
Okay, and, I like this, Joe. Where's the top?
If this thing hit $42, Dennis, this thing was over $42 this morning.
Do you think all these stuff? Okay,
$43.14. It's leaked. It's leaked.
All right, all right. Yeah, this is why you do the pre-market prep show, because and my Jemiah, bring JMIA up right now. Bring it up.
It's bring quite it up. A couple.
I know it was a lot higher. I wonder if they all just topped out in the pre-market.
Yeah.
I wonder if all these Momo names actually, you know what? Today might be the day.
Dennis. Well, Jeremy said he was nervous. Selling, so Dennis. What the hell Dennis. Else do you need
Okay,
to
stop.
Know?
Mitch has got something to say.
I want to remind you what you always say. What? The market likes to hurt where they can hurt the most. Everyone, I feel, has been leaning on the bull side. It's been working. But today just might be the day that.
So you're agreeing with us?
Yeah, the bulls are leaning bulls.
I think so.
The market turns around on them and does a little pullback.
I'm starting to get convicted in my thought process that if you've been in some of these momentum guys, names, it's time to ring the register.
No, I'm with you.
You got me, Mitch. And Jeremy was saying the same thing. He's getting nervous. I'm getting nervous. Kenny's getting nervous. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe it's just going to continue for weeks and weeks, and we're going to see stocks like Jemiah go to $100 next week.
No.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're due for a cool-off period. Not go ice cold, but cool-off period. So SBE already hit 42. I think 42 is in. High days in, I believe. And maybe it goes for a cool-off period. Maybe we see this thing back down to 20s, and then you're, like, hurting a few people. And then, you know, and then you wait. And you wait for, you know, obviously some consolidation and maybe a story to start to get some smoke again. And then, you know, eventually maybe it got hot again.
I'm with you, Mitch. I think you got to look out for tech now. I think some people are going to start jumping into tech and switching some of the lower names into some of the higher names.
Quality stuff.
Higher quality stuff. Yep. That's what I'll be looking for today.
Yeah, you could be very right.
First half hour of our show, you guys.
You have me nervous.
For the first half hour, you're all about riding the train, riding the trend.
Now he's jumping off.
This is how you trade. You got to be ready. The train's stopping. I got to get off. No, I don't know where the rocket ship is. I told you to take half your money out. Now maybe say I'm taking the whole damn thing out. I'm getting nervous. He got me nervous. Jeremy got me nervous, and he said he's selling. He called the top back in September. That Jeremy knew some guys pretty smart at calling tops. And now you're looking at this pre-mark and you're seeing this SBE go from 42 down to 36. And, you know, could it come back up to 42? Yeah, it could go to 50, could go to 60, could go to 70. But it might be time to lock in a little bit of profit.
All right. I think that's a good place to wrap our show. I know there's a lot more tickers. I apologize. We'll get to those at the 340 show. I wrote a few of them down. You can catch a replay of this show on YouTube. Of course, we're on also every major podcast platform, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, et cetera. Thanks to our guest, Jeremy Newsome. Thanks to all the participation in our chat. There's the YouTube chat, there's the Benzinga.com chat, and there's the Benzinga Pro chat. Hit that like button, show us some love. We appreciate that. And that's what I got. So please remember, all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Everyone have a good rest of your day. Joel, Mitch, and I will be back at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time here on our YouTube channel. Until then, everyone have a good rest of your day. Good luck in your trades and wherever you are. Stay safe.
Fun show.